In the name of Jesus, let us pray. Father, please walk with us through the bad times as well as the good. May we be heard and understood from the suburbs to the hood. May you judge us by our hearts and not by our mistakes. And see that we get a breakthrough, however long that it takes. May you fill that void in our souls that will lay our fears to rest. Because there's no way we can live for Jesus when we're living in the flesh. So I pray that you allow our spirits to be born, grow strong, move on, know right from wrong. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. And we know what that means. But listen, we know the distance we need to be away from fire to keep it missing. That doesn't mean we'll listen. Lord, you take care of fools and babies. You teach women to honor their men and men respect their ladies. But lately, so many of us have gone astray, doing wrong for so long that we've forgotten the way. Please bring us back home, instill in us the word which is our backbone, which is children that act grown. There is so much that we're entitled to, yet we receive so little. Because in this time of spiritual warfare, we're comfortable in the middle. So I pray that you open our eyes, give us the anointing to recognize the devil and his lies. If we keep our actions wise and our prayers sincere, our heads to the sky, you will diminish our fears. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen.
You can change the world. You have only one life to live. One. Make it count. I want to encourage you to check us out. Pacific Rim Christian College, right here in Honolulu, Hawaii. This fall will be a brand new season. In fact, every incoming student will become automatically inducted into our brand new Ignite Student Leadership Program, where you'll have opportunities for missions, you'll have worship nights, you'll learn leadership principles, you'll have computer training, you'll even learn about daily devotions and how your life can grow deep and strong in the Lord. It'll be the adventure of a lifetime, something fantastic. You'll find out the rest when you arrive. You can change the world, homie.
They got to get a younger guy for that, I tell you. They got to get a younger guy. You can. Good to see him again, though. He's not getting any younger, but good to see him again. Hey, we're going to be celebrating Pacific Rim Christian College. It's a great vision, and things are happening. I mean, sometimes we don't see it here, but God is working in major ways. It's such a privilege to introduce to you who our speaker will be this morning. This man has been in the beginning of creating Pacific Rim Bible Institute with Pastor Wayne. He'll tell you more about that when he comes out. But he has been instrumental in my life in moving me from the marketplace into ministry. I remember spending like hours at night, in fact, early in the morning, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, just processing what God may be saying to me. But I love him as a brother. He started here. God called him out. Now he's back helping us as the vice president and dean of academics of Pacific Rim Christian College. Would you welcome Dr. Randy Furushima as he comes out? Randy.
Thanks so much. Thank you so much, Owen. Well, greetings. Welcome. It's such a privilege for me to be here, back here. As Pastor Owen said, it's been some time, about 9 years ago. I left here. God called me to plant another church, and God has really called me back. I want to thank Pastor Elwin and Pastor Wayne for inviting me this morning. You know, this morning you have, we've already heard the best guitarist player in the world play for you. Wasn't that something? Isn't that amazing? Today. And so in the same spirit, this morning, they invited the best Bible teacher in the world to give the message. Unfortunately, he couldn't make it, so they invited me. Well, being a pastor here at New Hope for the first 5 years of this church was really humbling experience for me to see how God began this work and work in people's lives. And isn't that what we are all about? We anticipate and we look forward to living out our lives with someone who knows us, someone who knows us intimately as God has. How many of you want to know God in a deeper and real way this morning? Let me see your hands. All of you, thank you so much. Put your hands down. You're in the right place. You know, as I look around, I see not only people, but I see like this technology now. I mean, all of these screens and high-definition screens and all of that. You know, when I was a pastor here, I used to oversee what was called the overflow. I want to welcome all the overflow crowds and the online community and family here as well today. But we used to have the overflow in the gym. And, you know, technology is something that you either live or die by, right? So here I was on the other side, and Pastor Wayne was speaking here, and they were broadcasting it live next door in the gym. And then all of a sudden, as he's speaking, the sound goes out, and all you could see was just him just speaking. And this went on for a minute. I said, well, somebody's got to do something. So I took the mic, and I started to lip sync or interpret what it is that Pastor Wayne was saying to that group. So I would listen to him, and I'd say, Pastor Wayne is saying that Pastor Randy is the best pastor he's ever worked with. And that he really wants to be like Pastor Randy. And that everything he knows, Pastor Randy taught him. And then the sound came on, and I got busted. That was completely not, of course, what he was saying. But it's a true story. I did make that one up, though. And I thought, you know, when you know someone, however, you know their hearts. And let me ask you something. Who is the person that you have had the longest relationship with? Just think about that. Who is the person you've had the longest relationship with? Caleb Quay just said that he is celebrating his 25th wedding anniversary. Isn't that something? That's a long relationship. I thought about that. I have a 36-year relationship with my wife. That's how long we've been married. I got married. Yeah, thank you. Because I got married when I was 3. But when you think about who's the person you've had the longest relationship with, the answer is God. And you might say, well, wait a minute, Randy. I just became a Christian, or I haven't known God for all that long. Yes, but that's from your perspective, from where you stand. From where God stands, he's always had a relationship with you. In fact, the prophet Jeremiah says, before you were born, he knew you in your womb. And while you were in your womb, God says that he set you apart while you were in the womb. And that's the kind of God we have, who knows who you are. God knew you before you were born. In fact, turn to the person next to you right now and say, God knew you before you were born. Both sides. God knew you before you were born. Isn't that wonderful? That we not only now know each other, but we can affirm that God now knows us. Now, the big question is this. Now that God knows us, why? For what purpose? To be in relationship with him, of course. Last week, we heard a message from Pastor Dave Barr, who talked about relationships and how important it is for us to develop our relationship with God, our relationship with our spouse, and our relationship with our children, of course. And I would challenge us today to look at how God can use those relationships now for his purposes. And the purposes that God has for us this morning is so that God can ignite our hearts to change the world. We're celebrating this weekend Pacific Rim Christian College. It's a place in which you'll be hearing a lot about. It's a place that God is touching. It's a new season in our college in which we are going to be challenging young men and women, people that you may know, maybe you yourselves, or certainly someone you know, to pray for, to attend the college and to be challenged so their hearts can be ignited to change the world. Before I formed you in the womb, Jeremiah says, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. What is it that God has set you apart for? Every single one of us this morning has been set apart to fulfill God's purposes in your life. Aren't you interested in finding out what that is? And let me tell you what that is. It has something to do with something no less than changing the world. How many of you would agree that the world needs changing? Let's see your hands. Thank you. Yes. Now I see some of you haven't raised your hands. That's okay. If you don't believe that the world needs changing, that it's okay, you go ahead and have refreshments right now. Go ahead, or put on your iPod. It's not going to bother us. What I'm saying, this is serious. If you are serious that this world needs changing, then wouldn't God have you a part of that change? And for in order for that to happen, God has to change our heart. We sing that song, "Change My Heart, O God, and I want to be like you." That's been a prayer, perhaps. But God wants us to know that this day, this moment, this lifetime, we only have one life to live. Why not use it? Why not ignite your heart to change the world? I want to share with you this morning simply three secrets to changing the world. We're using the story of the life of Paul. And we're going to have a little Bible study here looking into Acts 16. And we're going to look at what it is that comes out of this particular portion of Scripture that I have for you. Just seven verses. And I want you to see how powerful the Scripture is to tell us what it means for us to change the world. But before we go into Acts 16, we're going to jump ahead to Acts 17. And that's the verse I have for you. So follow with me as I read Acts 17. It goes like this. These men, speaking of Paul and his team, these men who have turned the world, what?
Upside down,
have come here. Now, this was written by someone who really feared the fact that Paul and his group were coming because there were people that made changes. They turned the world upside down. But you and I know that what God eventually does is not so much turn the world upside down, but to make the world right side up, to make it right. And that's what God has done in your life. That's what God has done in my life. That's what God desires to do in your life, that whatever is upside down in your life, God wants to make right side up. Now, there are many things in this world, and we don't need to name the list of them because you know what they are. There are many things in this world that are upside down. Some of our values, the things we treasure, the things that influence us, the things we succumb to, those are upside down values. And what God wants to do is to turn it right side up. And so when Scripture talks about Paul and his team turning the world upside down, we know that that's just not only for the first century. It's for us in the 21st century as well. Because the power of the Spirit is that same power that's going to help you and I to turn the world right side up. But it's got to happen with change. And it starts with a change in your heart. Change the heart, change the world. That's a principle of God. Whatever world you're in, change the heart, change the world. Don't try to change the world just for the sake of change. You've got to change the heart first. So there are three secrets to changing the world. Some of you may say, well, Randy, what kind of change are you talking about? Is it just simply change? I said, no. If it's just changing things like that, it becomes chaos. I'm not talking about chaos. I'm talking about change. So what's the difference between change and chaos? Here it is, vision. Change without vision is chaos. Isn't that true? But if you have vision, you have a purpose, you have a direction. So whatever change you make in your life, whatever changes God has for you to make, whatever vision you embrace that God has for your life, it's going to result in deep and lasting change rather than chaos. So it's not about just changing your schedule or changing things there. And that's rearranging the furniture. God wants you to change your heart first. So let's take a look at Paul. But before that, I'm going to give you a definition of vision we're going to work with. Definition of vision is this. Write this in. Simply to see what is not yet there. By faith. To see what is not yet there by faith. My testimony to you today is that I believe God has called me back here to Pacific Rim Christian College to complete the work he began more than 10 years ago. It was about 10 years ago that Pastor Wayne and I sat down and we both had such a burden and a vision for equipping young men and women for ministry. Ministry in the churches as well as ministry in the marketplace. It continues to be a deep passion for both of us and for the entire team behind Pacific Rim Christian College. But here's how it started. We took a piece of paper just like this, an 8.5 by 11 yellow pad paper, and we sat down and wrote out the whole curriculum and program and vision for Pacific Rim Christian College. It was just on a paper like this. By the way, I still have the original paper in my notes as a reminder for me to know that God can start with something as simple as a yellow pad with an 8.5 by 11 paper. But vision, friends, is more than just ink on paper. Vision is God's heart written down on our heart, His writing engraved in our heart, so that whatever it is, it's more than just ink on paper. It's about God having His heart onto our heart so that we can live for Him. This cannot be even clearer than in the life of Paul. So let's look at the scripture. Follow with me as I go through it. I'm going to pause after each paragraph and I just give you some insights into there so you can grab hold of something about what it means to follow Jesus Christ and to have our hearts ignited for Him. Next, Paul and Silas traveled through the areas. By the way, before I start, don't pay attention so much to the place names. I want you to just get the action, okay? Just say what is going on there, okay? When you read the Bible, that's what it is. Don't pay attention so much right now to all the names because they may be distracting. Look at what it is that's happening here on the action. So Paul and Silas are traveling through the area of Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Spirit had told them not to go into the province of Asia at that time. Then coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed for the province of Bithynia, but again the Spirit of Jesus did not let them go. Okay, that's filled with some geographical places, but what's the main thing there? What did the Holy Spirit tell them to do? Not to go. Circle the word not. The two times that it's there. Catch the two times. In this one short paragraph, already the Holy Spirit is saying to Paul, not. Now, has God ever said not to you? Yeah. God has said not to me. I remember before I got married, I prayed for God to bring me someone that would be my life partner. And my prayer request to God was, God, give me someone who could cook a fabulous gourmet meal every night, to do my laundry and press my clothes daily. Always be there emotionally for me. Hand me the remote control every time I ask for it. Watch football with me and actually know what's going on. You know, just the basic male needs. And then God said to me, not. Wait a minute, was that my wife? I'm just trying to remember. Yeah, anyway. But that's what God does. You know, I know Pastor Dave shared with you last week about Adam and Eve and how Eve was created using Adam's rib to be his partner. Well, actually, I want to tell you the full story behind that because that's not the full story. You're not going to find this in the Bible, okay? So this is just bonus for you this morning. I just want to tell you that the real backstory about Adam and Eve is this. See, Adam wanted to have a say into what kind of person this Eve was going to be. So he told God, God, this is the kind of woman that I would want. I want a woman who would attend to my every need. I want a woman who would bring me food 5 times a day. I want a woman who would bring me fresh water throughout the day. I want someone who would make my bed every morning, make it nice and neat. I want someone who can wash and clean the entire Garden of Eden every day. And also, and most importantly, God, I want a woman who won't be bothered if I leave the toilet seat up. Okay, I made that one up. He didn't really request that. And God said, wow, that's going to cost you, Adam. And Adam said, what is it going to cost me? And God said, an arm and a leg. And Adam said, an arm and a leg. Wow, that's a lot. And he thought for a moment. He says, God, what can I get for a rib? And the rest is history. Well, let's continue with Paul. He said, so instead, okay, so now Paul is saying not, okay, the Holy Spirit. And so instead, they went through on to Mysia, to the city of Troas. That night, Paul had a what? A vision, right? And a vision is to see what is not yet there by faith. So now Paul receives this vision. And in this vision, he says, I saw a man from Macedonia in northern Greece pleading with him, saying these 6 words, come over here and help us. Simply that. That was the whole vision. You know, Caleb had 4 words, right, that someone said to him. Yeah. You just need Jesus. You know, God doesn't need too many words to call us. And here it is, Paul, with his whole team, trying to evangelize the whole world. And he's making this itinerary with his group to go, and the Holy Spirit says, not there, not there. He sees a vision, and it's a vision of someone saying to him, come over here and help us. Come over here and help us. Now, it's amazing, Paul's response. Let's read on. So we decided to leave for Macedonia at once, for we could only conclude that God was calling us to preach the good news there. Now, was this just a mere detour for Paul? No, it wasn't. Let me tell you this. When God calls us and says not to us, it doesn't mean some minor adjustment in our life. It means a total change. And if you look at the geography of all of these places, let me summarize for you what kind of change this was. Here it is. Paul was planning on staying in Asia. God wanted him to go to Europe. That's how big the gap was. If you look at these places, sometimes God wants us to stay in one place, but God wants sometimes calls us through some vision, through some igniting of our heart to change our plans because he needs us now someplace else. And for Paul, it symbolized the fact that he wanted to hang around Asia. God needed him in Europe. Now, let me ask you this. How long did Paul pray and fast before he went? How long? What does Scripture say? You have it right before you. He didn't spend any time doing that. He went when? At once. You know, this doesn't mean that you don't pray about every major decision in your life. But with Paul, and with us too, sometimes when God tells you to do something, he has already worked in your heart what it is that you need to do. You don't need to spend days praying about it. You know, you can discern in your heart that this is what God wants you to do. If God calls you today, you respond today. When Caleb Quay was asked and invited to give his life for us, his today meant tomorrow? No, today. And God is calling each one of us today to be a part of some change that he wants to bring in the world. Let's continue on as we complete this section. On the Sabbath, so here's Paul, he's there now. We went a little way outside the city, and we sat down to speak with some women who had come together. One of them was Lydia from Thyatira, a merchant of expensive purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. As she listened to us, the Lord opened her heart, and she accepted what Paul was saying. So here Paul finally meets Lydia. This is why the Holy Spirit said, not, not, and why this huge detour, so that Paul could meet someone. Now, this Lydia was a leader in the marketplace as well as in Christian ministry, opens her heart up and starts a house church in her home. And that's why Paul needed to be there, because the gospel of Jesus Christ needed to be there. Sometimes you may not know where God is going to lead you. It may mean a change in your plans. It may mean, in Caleb's language, God crashing to your party in some way. But in some way, God is going to use you and speak to you, even in those times. So Paul meets Lydia, and now the good news comes to the city. So here are the three secrets of changing the world. Write this in. Number one, simply this. Change begins when I listen. When I listen, change begins when we first listen to God. The same principle applies to us in our relationships with our spouses and even our children. You say, well, I want to change the world around me. I want to change my spouse, the way she or he responds, or my children. It's not going to happen with you talking first. It's going to happen by you, what? Listening. Can you all begin to do that? I've got to remind myself of this too. Change begins with listening, not by talking. Change begins by listening. Because then you connect with that person. You begin to know who it is that that person wants to be with you. I mean, I can just imagine Caleb in his hotel room on his 30th birthday at 5 a.m. in the morning there, his mind particularly not clear at that moment, but actually open to listening, whether he realized it or not.
And God says, from this, I'm going to be in your life, and your life is going to change. It begins by us listening and sometimes living with what God has spoken to us, as Caleb did for 2.5 years, before you understand what it is that God has for you. So it begins by listening. The Holy Spirit told them not to go. Holy Spirit told them not to go. Twice they were denied what they wanted to do. And look what happened. The world began to change around Paul. And then secondly, write this in, while change can begin when we listen, change endures when I move ahead. When I move ahead. You know, this may sound simple, but sometimes it's the hardest thing to do. It's one thing to listen, but it's another thing to act on what you've been hearing. And for Paul to move ahead meant he had to go and just take that boat trip instead of staying in Asia to go to Europe, northern Greece. God could be speaking in your life as well to make changes. And you might say, well, okay, I can listen to God, and I can even agree with all what God is saying. Some of you may even have done that. Yes, God, I know that. I know that. Thank you for confirming that. And then you go on and you live your life. But God requires us to make those changes. To not act and to change consistently means that if you make a change, it's just for a moment. Real change happens when we just start moving ahead. Even if it's just taking one or two steps forward, at least you're moving in the right direction. Now, watch what happens when we decide that we can do more than just walking straight ahead. His name was Terrell Pryor. He was last season's true freshman quarterback for Ohio State. It was a big game at home against Penn State. Both teams were nationally ranked. National championship was at stake. Ohio State was ranked 6th in the nation, Penn State 3rd in the nation. It was in the fourth quarter. Ohio State, wow, was ahead by 3 points. They had the ball. All the quarterback had to do, all Terrell Pryor had to do, was execute the play. The play that was called QB sneak. It was a quarterback sneak, which means that all he had to do was go 1.5 yards ahead and make the first down. A quarterback sneak for 1.5 yards for the first down. That's all he needed to do. Watch what happens.
Terrell Pryor, fumble, loose ball. Knocked free. Big loose ball, big scrum. Looked like the Lions may have bounced on it. It looked like Bowman may have gotten to the ball and recovered it.
Mark Rubin just popped the ball loose. It's the first time tonight the true freshman has made a true freshman mistake by, instead of just taking the sneak in the first down, he tried to run it to the outside and try to go 55 yards for a touchdown.
Terrell Pryor was interviewed right after the game and said, what made you not go straight ahead and just improvise? And he said, I saw the goal line 55 yards away, and I went for it. Now, Terrell Pryor is a gifted athlete, and he's going to win a lot of games in his sophomore, junior, and senior year, beginning with this season for Ohio State. He's a truly gifted athlete, and he's going to probably win games for them because of his creativity. But on this day, he learned a valuable principle. And that principle he learned that day was that sometimes in order to succeed, you just need to take a few steps forward. Just do the quarterback sneak and walk straight forward. That's all God asks of us sometimes, just to move in the right direction. It may not seem much. It may not seem like a colorful play. It may not seem like it's going to gain more yards. But if he had done that, he would have gotten the first down, and you saw what happened. Well, Penn State recovered the fumble. They scored a touchdown off of that fumble, and Penn State won that game by that margin. What a lesson. Sometimes God has for us, sometimes something as simple as walking straight ahead and making the change that's there. Pacific Rim Christian College will be starting this fall with a new program for our incoming freshmen called the Leadership Program. It's called Ignite Leadership Immersion. And the reason why we call it Ignite is that we know that the Holy Spirit is going to ignite our young people's hearts to change the world. And I'm inviting every one of you to think of a young person that
God wants to ignite his or her heart, or maybe it's yours here today, or someone that you know. Because in this leadership immersion program, we're going to be reaching not only their heads, but their hearts and their hands as well. Their head is in that we're going to have the best academic courses and curriculum for them. Their heart, in the sense that we are going to have them grow spiritually. They're going to be assigned to a team with a team leader, and they're going to be growing spiritually throughout that, doing devotions together. They'll have a sensitivity for others as we look at missions, as they even plan worship, as they assist other churches to put hands to their faith. And it's going to be an amazing time for that to happen. And if any of you are interested or know someone that is interested, this Tuesday at 5 p.m., we're having a Taste of Pac Rim over at our campus. And there's more information you can get on our table this morning for you to see. But Pac Rim, our faculty, our staff, and supporters and students like yourself, take seriously God's call to ignite our hearts to become world changers. And your support and your help is going to be needed in the days ahead in order for this to happen. And then finally, number three, follow with me, change lasts when I invest in others. You know, if change endures when we move ahead, then it's going to last when we begin to invest in others. This is what Paul did with Lydia. He invested his life and his team in Lydia. So the question is this, very interesting, whatever happened to Lydia? Does anyone know? Whatever happened to Lydia and her group there? They grew and became the church at Philippi. And we know how they did by reading the epistle of Paul to the Philippians. And that's what I have for you here. This tells us what happened to all of that changes. If Paul had not gone there, look at what it would have been missed. Philippians chapter 1 gives us an insight into what happened because Paul invested his life in others. And I'm going to ask us to read this together. Philippians 1, beginning with verse 3. Ready? I thank God, my God, every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day. He who began a good work in you, there was a good work that began, and God has begun a good work in you, and God wants to bring it to completion. That's what God is all about. And in order for God to bring his work in completion in our lives, he wants us to ignite our hearts so that we can begin to change the world around us. And that's what's at stake. Partnership was the key for the lasting, enduring change of the gospel. Partnership is still the key for us here. Our Pacific Rim Christian College is partnering with Eugene Bible College in our consortium. We have institutes and Bible schools in Tokyo, in Myanmar, and we're starting a new institute in Taipei. These will be our partners in ministry globally. And God wants us to know that it's more than just what he's doing here. His heart is for the whole world. And with that in mind, I want to share with you that we are investing our lives in our young people. We have an Ignite My World, Change My World essay contest. We're asking our incoming freshmen to write an essay on why they believe and how they believe God can use them to become world changers. It's just a 2-page essay. And we're going to select 20 students to receive each a $1,000 scholarship. So we are investing $20,000 in our young people just in this essay contest. More details can be found at our table. And it's our way of ensuring that change will last in people's lives and in this world that God so loves. Now, earlier I said that God gave Paul 6 words to turn his world upside down, right? Come over here and help us. Well, I want to leave with you God's 6 words to us this morning. Ignite your heart, change the world. God bless you.
Randy Furusuma. What's God saying to you? Let's all stand as we conclude. What's he saying to you today? Because he wants to ignite your heart and do something about it. don't know if you caught what Pastor Randy said or Dr. Randy said towards the end there. God is doing major work, not just here at New Hope. There's so many different partnerships, consortiums that are forming because God's hand is going to start to change the world. We can be a part of that. Outside, they have Pac Rim. They have a table, more information, or even if you can support it somehow. But what is God saying to you? What is that vision that you have? And what is the world? How do you define your world? It could be just around with your family. It could be at your workplace. But let him listen for his word, see what he's asking you to do, ignite that, and become world changers. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to be reminded once again what it means to be a part of your ministry. Help us, Lord, to hear what you have to say to us, to see what you have for us to see, and then have the courage to step forward. We want to be partners with you in ministry. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you seal that to your hearts with a clap? God bless you. Have a great week. Love on someone as you go.